Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
We go to Athens for the latest on your Georgia Bulldogs. This is Bulldog Roundtable, exclusively on The Fan. Live from the Georgia's own Credit Union Studios at the Buttsmere Building in Athens.
25-20, fourth sideline, 15-10, 5, get in there, touchdown!
This morning, The Fan staff brings you the latest on the Dogs.
As the only station in Atlanta that's live in Athens all year long.
Yes, indeed! That was too easy!
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union. Find out how you can become one of Georgia's Own at georgiasown.org. And by Haug Law Group, your local personal injury attorneys. You can't spell Haug without the U, the G, and the A. HaugLawGroup.com.
And that's going to be the ball game. Georgia will win this ball game.
Now, live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union Studios in the Buttsmere Building in Athens, it's Chuck Dowdle on the Bulldog Roundtable.
Yes, indeed. Tuesday morning, here we go. We're into the month of May. That means football season getting closer and closer and closer. And that, of course, great news for all of us in Dog Nation. But welcome to the Bulldog Roundtable, coming to you live from the heartbeat of Dog Nation, Georgia's own credit union studio, and, of course, presented by the Haug Law Group. And we got a great show for you today. We're going to go back and revisit that NFL draft, which was record-breaking for the Georgia football program. We'll get into that in a little bit. We got some congratulations to hand out right here at the top of the show to our Lady Bulldog basketball head coach, Joni Taylor. She's been selected to serve as the assistant coach for the 2021 USA Basketball Women's Under-19 World Cup team. This is quite an honor for Joni and well-deserved. Not only did the Lady Dogs go 21-7 this year, but in her 6 years as head coach at Georgia, she's been 119-65, doing a great job, and now a great opportunity on the world stage for our women's head basketball coach. So congratulations to Joni Taylor for that honor. And then, of course, we got to check in on baseball and tell you that Scott Strickland's squad, they got the week off during midweek baseball because of exams, but they will be back in action on Friday at number one Arkansas. They'll be in Fayetteville, a three-game series against the Razorbacks. Then they got a midweek game next week at Georgia Tech, and then three games on the road at Florida. So seven straight road games now coming up for Georgia's baseball team, but no midweek game this week. But stay tuned. That's a big series this weekend against number one Arkansas in Fayetteville. The last time the Dogs faced a number one team this season, that was at Vanderbilt. Georgia took 2 out of 3, so let's keep our fingers crossed. We're going to take a break. We come back, we're going to revisit that NFL draft, which was record-breaking for the Georgia Bulldogs.
Dialed into the Dogs all year long.
This is Bulldog Roundtable on The Fan. This is Bulldog Roundtable with Chuck Dowdle, live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union Studios in the Buttsmere Center in Athens, on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Well, I don't think that there's any doubt that all college football players, you know, they head into college hoping to have that opportunity to move to the next level. For Georgia, last week, the NFL draft, record-breaking, 9 Georgia players, former Georgia Bulldogs, selected in the NFL's 7-round draft. That is a record for a 7-round draft for the Dogs. Just a great NFL draft for Kirby Smart and his staff, and what it shows as far as development of players is concerned. And let's bring in our good friend Alex Gilstrap. He contributes to the NFL Draft Bible on Sports Illustrated. And Alex, obviously, when the Dogs, you know, I think we knew going in that Georgia would be sprinkled throughout this draft. And when you look back, that was exactly the case. They had round one, round two, round three. They did not have a player selected in round four, but round 5, 6, and 7. So there were Dogs throughout it.
Yeah, no, it was a balanced attack, it seemed like, from Georgia's side of things going into the draft. You know, a lot of them kind of went where I thought they would. Talking about at the top, obviously Aziz Ojulari saw a little bit of a slip, and you know there's some medical concerns there. But a lot of the guys went kind of where you went. Some surprising guys late. Some guys that fell out of the draft that I thought would be drafted. But all, overall, I mean, you talk about a balanced attack, getting one in, you know, almost every single round there. Like you mentioned, no one in the fourth. But it was a really good day. Like you said, the record-breaking day for Georgia Athletics. And I know it's just going to streamline Kirby Smart and this program to take the next step as far as recruiting.
Alex, let me ask you about Aziz Ojulari. You mentioned him. I think everybody had him, you know, in the pre-draft gurus all had him going in the first round. It ended up being Eric Stokes who went for the Dogs in the first round. And Aziz dropped to – he was the third player selected going in the second round with the 18th pick to the New York Giants. Are we going to look back and say he was the steal of the draft?
We very well could. And obviously there were some concerns coming out of the NFL's camp about his knee, his ankle, and as someone that his skill set is so predicated on his ability to push the edge and to rush the edge with speed and bend on the outside, knee and ankle concerns is not really what you want. And, you know, since the draft, we have seen that is what is due to his slide. But if he can stay healthy, like I said, I think he's a top 20 player in this draft. He might be one of the best defensive players in the draft. Like I said, if he can stay on the field and that knee and ankle can hold up. But if that's the case, like you said, I think he could be the steal of the draft, especially in a Giant scheme where he's going to be asked to rush the passer a lot more than drop back in coverage, which we saw at Georgia.
If fans had any question at all as to why people were so concerned about Georgia's secondary heading into this coming season, you need only look at this draft where of the 9 players selected out of the University of Georgia, 4 of them were DBs. So that's huge attrition out of that secondary.
No, without a doubt. And honestly, DJ Daniels, another one who signed an undrafted free agent. So we had 5 defensive backs join the NFL. I thought DJ Daniel was actually going to get drafted before Webb did. But like you said, you know, there's going to be a lot of turnover in that Georgia secondary. But this is, like you said, just a compliment to what they've been able to build and develop in that Georgia secondary, which is a position group at Georgia, I feel like, has been kind of underwhelming over the last, you know, 10 or so years as far as their translation to the NFL. But, you know, we have an exciting group translating from Athens to the NFL, and like you said, two of them going in the top 33 picks with Tyson Campbell going 33rd overall to Jacksonville. Those two players are going to have, you know, a shot to start week one and have a shot to make an early impact, which is something Georgia hasn't been able to say about cornerbacks and safeties going to the next level in quite some time.
Talking with Alex Gilstrap, he's a contributor to the NFL Draft Bible and Sports Illustrated. And Alex, let me ask you, who surprised you going a little higher than you thought they might?
Honestly, it's probably Monty Rice. Monty Rice, when I finalized my big board a week ahead of the draft, ended up in the top 100. He ended up at 99 overall, and I was looking at some of the other guys around the NFL draft community, Dane Brugler, Daniel Jeremiah, Todd McShay, Mel Kiper, some of these guys, and Monty Rice wasn't even sniffing the top 100. However, he goes 92nd overall to Tennessee on day 2, which I thought was, you know, a lot higher than where a lot of big media saw him going. So, you know, that was an exciting one for me. I feel like, you know, I saw that one similarly to Tennessee. I see the instincts. I see the athleticism to work sideline to sideline from Monty Rice. I think he's a coverage player that'll do well in the modern NFL. And, you know, I just feel like a lot of people just weren't giving him the respect. I know it was a deep linebacker class this year, but I thought, you know, Monty Rice was definitely well in tune with that second tier of linebackers behind those you saw go in the first round.
You know, I think the guy that so many feel extremely happy for and were concerned about was Richard LeCount, and he ended up going in the 5th round of the Browns, and that may be a steal because if Richard, and he was able to get back out on the field in the bowl game for Georgia on that final play, which I think was important to him, I think it was important to Coach Smart to see him back out there, and now if he gets over those injuries that he suffered and that horrific motorcycle accident and gets, you know, a good shot in the NFL, I think this kid could play.
No, I'm completely with you. And honestly, you know, the Energizer Bunny that he is, I think is going to bring a dynamic impact to that Cleveland Browns defense who selected him in the 5th round at 169 overall. And, And honestly, a lot of guys that tested as poorly as he did, because he did, he tested very, very poorly at his pro day, usually don't get drafted. Those guys usually fall out of the draft. But I know there's some question marks about how completely healthy was he back from that incident. And I think that's just a testament to his leadership and the impact he can have in the locker room just as much as he can have on the field for Cleveland to still invest a fifth-round pick in him despite the testing. I think, you know, Richard LeCount, you know, like you said, I think he can be a playmaker. I don't think his testing really serves his, you know, what he can do with the next level right. I think this guy can create turnovers, and just the energy he brings to a defense, even if it's in a rotational role, I think can be hugely impactful and hugely beneficial to Cleveland and what they got going on over there.
Two guys I want to mention here before we get away and let you go, Alex, is obviously the guy that went first in that first round, Eric Stokes, and what a terrific young man. Great personality, great leadership abilities, great speed, obviously, and, you know, came out of high school, you know, not that highly sought, and turns out being a first-round selection in the NFL draft. I mean, that's what it's all about.
No, you're completely right. Eric Stokes is someone that throughout this draft process, as you know, through some of my mocks that, you know, got me on here the first time we talked some Georgia draft prospects, is Eric Stokes is one of those guys that I was really, really excited about. Thought he could go as high as 16, and I love this fit in Green Bay. I think opposite of Jair Alexander, who's a Pro Bowl level corner, Eric Stokes' speed, his athleticism, his length for his size, I think is really, really impressive. And he finally was able to prove to the NFL and prove to the doubters that he can turn the football over in 2020, something that he was really missing on his resume. There's really a question mark there heading into the 2020 season, but he was able to turn the football over. Like I said, I think he's just one of the most versatile coverage defenders in this year's class, honestly. And I think that's what Green Bay saw.
And what about Malik Herring as a free agent? Now, there's a guy that may have been drafted had he not been hurt down there at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, that was so unfortunate because, like you said, Malik Herring, former high recruit, someone that I think had an underrated career at Georgia. I think he can find a home at 5-tech, you know, a 3-4 defensive end, someone that kind of worked inside, outside, and be a versatile piece on defensive line. I do think he would have been drafted in, you know, middle, late day three had that Senior Bowl injury not happened. But he's going to have a chance to get back healthy and prove himself. I mean, it's going to be a long road ahead. Obviously, the timing of the torn ACL is not very favorable for him. But, you know, all he can do is just get back healthy and prove why he needs to make a roster. So I like where Malik Herring landed. I think he has a good chance of making the roster.
Well, let's hope that's the case. Let's hope all of these young men get that opportunity to play at that next level. Alex Gilstrap, a contributor to the NFL Draft Bible and Sports Illustrated. Alex, thank you so much. We're going to take a break. We come back, we're going to talk about full capacity crowds in the fall with a man who may have a good clue as to how that'll look. That's next here on the Bulldog Round.
The only Atlanta station broadcasting live from Athens all year long.
This is Bulldog Roundtable on The Fan.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Hi, this is Vince Dooley, and you're listening to the Georgia Bulldog Roundtable on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, 680 The Fan. Now on FM at 93.7, Go Dogs!
And there's a voice that we all know all too well, and the next voice you're going to hear is a gentleman who also knows that voice all too well, as I think he spent a lot of time in that gentleman's home growing up. But the governor of the great state of Georgia, and so happy to have him on the Bulldog Roundtable this morning. Governor, you've been a great friend of the show throughout this pandemic in keeping us updated, and that's why we especially had Coach Dooley welcoming you back.
No, I love it. Thanks for having me back on, Chuck.
Governor, we're finally getting some surge numbers in COVID that are going in the right direction. The surge is looking good for us getting out of this and maybe seeing light here. I mean, true light at the end of this tunnel. Do you feel that we are going to be in a position, and what we're hearing the Braves announce that they're going to have full capacity, that we would be able to have full capacity at Sanford Stadium this fall?
Yeah, I'm really very optimistic about that. I mean, obviously, I'm also looking forward to UGA graduation here in just a few days. Our oldest daughter, Jarrett's going to be graduating. I was glad to see them going to unlimited seating for graduation. I mean, look, these kids deserve it. We're getting in a place where we can do these things now. Our vaccination rate continues to increase every day, and our cases continue to drop. Our hospitalizations have been dropping, so we're definitely – seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, Chuck. I mean, I would mention one thing. We are, you know, our peak day of vaccinations is behind us. We now have more supply than demand. So we're really focusing to try to get those hard-to-reach folks, folks that have been apprehensive or just haven't had time or really the willingness to go get the vaccine. That is the true way that we completely get out of the pandemic. I want to urge the Bulldog Nation to talk to their medical provider or their pharmacist and learn about the vaccine. I would hope they would consider getting it. A lot of our 18 to 35-year-old population has not done that, and that's really, you know, a lot of the folks that are going to be on campus this fall and people that want to be going to ball games, and to help protect everyone, that's the right thing to do if they feel like it.
Yeah, this is the way back, isn't it, is to get that needle.
Yeah, it really is, and it's been very successful. You know, Operation Warp Speed is a medical miracle, quite honestly, and I think looking around the country, everyone's done a really good job of making the vaccine accessible, getting the shots available to people, and, you know, we're kind of changing our strategy now, going more to the neighborhood-to-neighborhood, church-to-church, school-to-school mentality, business-to-business. The mass vaccination sites are seeing decreasing demand, so we got to go where the people are that want to get it, and that's what we're doing right now. But our rates continue to, I mean, we're continuing to get shots in arms every day. It was interesting. I was at the drag race in Commerce on Saturday at Walmart at their vaccination trailer there, vaccinating part of the population that quite honestly is not partaking the vaccines very well, and so that was good to see. And we got to continue doing strategic things like that so we can have full fall football stadiums, whether it's, you know, Georgia or high school football games and the like.
Well, I certainly hope that everybody that's within the sound of your voice here this morning takes full advantage of the opportunity, as you say, more supply than demand right now, and get the shot. I've had both of them, and I got to tell you, it's well worth it. Go ahead and get it done. And Governor, let me ask you this. You and Greg Sankey both drew criticism early on for trying to find the way to balance safety and business. Both of you are, you know, emerging from this with national media like the Wall Street Journal now praising the way Georgia handled it. And likewise, Commissioner Sankey being praised for his handling and his leadership in getting football played last fall and doing it in a way that I think we only missed two games out of the entire SEC schedule.
Well, it's a testament not just to, you know, obviously not to me, and I give the commissioner a lot of credit, but also the presidents of the SEC schools, a lot of the faculty that was helping them make really good medical decisions on how we could do these things. I mean, look, Chuck, you know as well as I do, there was a lot of pressure at one time to pull the plug on the college football season, and we saw a couple of other conferences, in my opinion, act very prematurely. In my conversation with the powers that be, I said, look, let's just see how this thing plans out. We got time. Let's give it a little while and see where our numbers go. And thankfully, they didn't get pressured into making just some sort of random decision. They really thought through it, really started talking to a lot of people in the medical community and folks that were on campuses across the Southeastern Conference of how we could do this and, you know, what the protocols would be. And I think UGA's been just incredible. Ron Corson and the team, you know, Coach Smart talks a lot about what a great job Ron and his staff did, and that's been prevalent all over the country. And thankfully, we were able to save the season. And I know for myself, being I've told you this before, but I was in the east end zone, upper deck, with Jarrett, Lucy, and Amy Porter, and getting to watch that game, watching those guys play, you know, watching fans in the stadium, even though limited, it was so uplifting that people were getting to experience that, because other people around the country didn't get to, and that's an experience our kids will always have and their students, and thankfully it wasn't taken away from them, at least here in the Southeast.
And that's something I want to. You just did a tour. I know of a lot of Georgia businesses, small businesses, and I know they really had took the brunt of this, and fortunately not as severely as in some states in our state. But what did you hear from them about what role sports played, and particularly college football, which is so big in the South?
Well, I think for them and for me, too. I mean, everybody, if you remember, I mean, you look back at those times, Chuck, and there was, like, nothing to watch on TV that was anything uplifting or good. You know, it was just all news 24/7 on the pandemic about how bad everything was, how devastating it was. There was hardly any sports to watch at all, and I think for college football to be played – especially in the South, to have some fans there was so uplifting. I mean, I think it gave people an outlet and a break, and, you know, much like people being able to go walk on the beach or go to the state park early in the pandemic when many other states were closing those down, we kept them open, because I'm like, you know, if you're stuck in your home all day and you got young kids, or, you know, just from the health, wellness, mental health issues, I mean, people need an outlet. They needed to be able to get out, get some fresh air, you know, just work off some steam, get exercise in, or, you know, let the kids run around and get tired. And they certainly needed sports to have something positive for them to say, hey, we can fight through this. They're doing it in sports. We can do it in our business. And that's what our small business owners did, and that's what our families did. I mean, everybody's had to make tough choices and adapt to a new way of living, but you know, at least here, we didn't say, you know, we can't deal with this. We got to figure out a way to fight the virus, but also fight for, you know, our values and our livelihoods and our paychecks as well.
Governor, there was no playbook for this when it hit. And as we've often said, it was like building the airplane as we were flying it. But I know you and Dr. Toomey, and I can't imagine how much help she was to you.
Well, Dr. Toomey's been great. I mean, obviously, I would put her credentials up to anyone in the country academically, and just her professional experience she's had literally all over the world in public health and dealing with issues like this. But the thing about Dr. Toomey, a lot of people don't realize, is she's a very practical person. And, you know, she understands that COVID-19 is bad, but she also understands that losing your job and not having the ability to feed, clothe, and house your family, mental health issues, not having kids in school and other things are just as bad. And she's been a great voice, I think, for balancing all of that amidst a lot of criticism. You know, she's gotten a lot, so have I, anybody in these positions in these times. You know, you're going to get Monday morning quarterback, which I know never happens on this show. But, you know, it comes with the territory, and that's fine. But she's also fought through that and really, I think, has been a very reasonable fighter in our battle with the pandemic. I'm very grateful to her service.
Yeah, we all are. And please extend our thoughts to her, our thank yous to Dr. Toomey. And before I let you go, give me a prediction on this coming fall.
I feel pretty good, Chuck. I mean, look, we got a lot of great players coming back. Unlike last year, we got to keep everybody healthy. I know that's something that's hard to control, especially when you're playing the schedule Georgia has this year. But I think the guys are going to be ready. I'm looking forward to us winning the SEC East, being in the championship game. I think our bowl win against Cincinnati is going to help us mentally when we get to that point and we get the playoffs. Who knows what will happen. I feel good about things.
Well, Governor, thank you so much for your time this morning, and thank you for helping us get through this. And again, let's stress once more to everybody, please get the shot, get vaccinated. You heard the governor say there's more demand than supply. More supply than demand. And so now's the time to get it done.
Well, thanks, Chuck. Appreciate all you do. Congratulations on your upcoming retirement from being on the air. We're going to miss you, but I know you'll be close by. And go Dawgs.
You got it, Governor. Thank you so much. Governor Brian Kemp with us here on the Bulldog Roundtable. And just like the governor says, go Dawgs indeed. To all of you in the Bulldog Nation, thanks so much for being with us this Tuesday morning. Stay tuned now for the home team in Hamilton. They are next here on 680 The Fan. And, of course, as always, let's have a great Bulldog day, everybody.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at atlantaramjack.com.